Let's go to Exodus chapter 2 this morning in the Old Testament, second book out of the Old Testament, Exodus. Sort of funny sometimes. If you get into the pulpit long enough, maybe you've taught, maybe you've preached before. I don't know where you're at. But sometimes you just amuse yourself in the things that you say. It just happens, you know, because as many words that I say in one week, you're probably going to make a mistake or two. And I just noticed when I was praying, my heart and my mind were trying to knit together that he would have the preeminence and that he would be glorified. And I came up with a word. Did you hear it? Preeminized. I just made up a new word. But I believe we can go with it. I think you know what I meant. But then, you got to laugh at yourself, and that's those things. But God knows the heartbeat in that, and we can make up words now and then to be able to help bear our hearts together. Exodus chapter 2, thank you for joining with us. Let's look at the scriptures this morning. Look at verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she had hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid in it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked alongside the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Brother Devon, would you pray for us this morning as we enter the preaching of God's word together. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you so much, brother. In the preparation for messages, sometimes you're looking through other books and things. There's a lot of quotes out there, that you could draw from, you can bring into the messages and use as illustrations. Some of those are very thought-provoking, some are very spiritual, and some are more humorous, but true nonetheless. And I have some that I came across this week. I think they're probably more representative of the latter. Some humorous, but probably true nonetheless type things, I think, this morning as we prepare our hearts for the Word. So I came across some short one-liners, I think, that would accomplish that. And let me know if you agree with these, okay? Here they are. Some people are kind, polite, and well-spirited. That is, until you try to sit in their pew. Many folks want to serve God, but only as advisors. It's easier to preach 10 messages than it is to live just one. Yes. The Lord didn't create anything without purpose, but mosquitoes come pretty close. The Lord didn't, when you get to your wit's end, you'll find that God lives right there. You ever been there? Another good one is, opportunity may knock once, they say, but make no mistake, temptation bangs on the front door forever. Here's another one. A sure remedy to quit griping about church is to remember, if it was perfect, you couldn't belong either. How about this? If a church needs a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. I covet that. How about this? Some minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed up and permanently set. Yeah, some. Some church members, somebody has well said, standing on the promises when many are just sitting on the premises. Someone else said, be fishers of men. You catch them, and he will clean them up. Can I say that again? Because some of you need to hear that again. Be fishers of men, but you catch them, and he will clean them up. Someone also said, don't ever put a question mark where God put a period. That's pretty good. How about this? We are called to be witnesses, not to be lawyers or judges. That's good. And lastly, and most appropriately maybe this morning, good moms let you lick the beaters. But listen, great moms turn them off first. Yeah, great moms. And we have in our midst a lot of great moms. And what would the world look like without mothers? It is mothers that have that unique ability to comfort, don't they? To care and to bring that element of compassion that otherwise probably would not be there to much of a degree. And even at times of fierce protection, a mother will be there as well. Isn't that where we get the term mama bear, right? Don't ever play around, right? Or get near cubs if they come strolling through your yard. Because you know what? Mama is probably just an earshot away. And listen, you are no contest to the mother of those cubs. Even if she senses you are posing a threat, you're going to have a problem. And mothers are the ones that leave that unique, lasting impression upon our lives as only they can. Oh, fathers do, but it's just not the same. Let's just be honest. It's not the same. I think we could all agree about that. And I mentioned my mother's service here recently. I brought this to light, and I'll share it with you as well. But when I was young, as a very young toddler, even a very young child, I had asthma. Now, praise the Lord, I was able to outgrow that. But that was a hard time for me as a very, very young child. I was in and out of the hospital and all these treatments. I can remember maybe as a 7 or 8 year old child having really bad ear infections. I remember sleeping on the couch and just, you know, trying to deal with the pain of that. I remember when I was 15, I'll never forget this, I got mono. And I was sick for almost 30 weeks, mono. And listen to me, it wasn't my father that nursed me during those times. It was not dad that would care and stay up. It was mom. It was my mother that knew what to do and to comfort me. Not that my dad didn't or couldn't or wasn't willing, but there's something about a mother. And speaking of ailments and injuries, growing up, I had plenty of spills on my bicycle. And we actually used to ride our bikes everywhere. Young people, let me take you into a little time capsule this morning. Okay, imagine, if you will, a world where kids got on their bicycles and they were gone all day until dinner time. Your parents didn't know where you were. You were out with your friends in your neighborhood. And then after dinner time, you got back on that bike and you weren't home until the streetlights came on. That was the rule in my neighborhood. I know, impossible to fathom in your minds. Because those days are gone, right? No more. But when I was a kid, I remember crashing my bike really, really bad. Our neighbors about 6 houses down had a huge remote control helicopter. And they had it on their front yard, and they were getting ready to fly that thing. And I told my brother, you got to see this thing. It's awesome. And we got on our bikes, and I was in the lead. I was pedaling that bike as fast as I could down the center of that blacktop road. I don't know what I hit. I don't know what happened. But I went over those handlebars so fast, I didn't have time to put my hands out. And my head hit the pavement first thing. And, of course, the rest is carnage, right? And I was in bad shape, and I remember my brother sort of helping me back to the house, you know, as I'm crying and bleeding all over the place. I had a huge egg on my head. So that explains a lot, Pastor. Yeah, I know. But this thing was swollen up. And who do you think it was that I called as soon as I walked in the house? Mom. Mom. Why? Because it's mothers that bring that healing comfort. Dads can help, I mentioned, and they can be involved, and they should. But mothers have a unique love and bond for their children. And as a result, they have impressed upon us to whatever degree. You say, you don't understand my situation. You had a mother. A love that is without rival many times. And the memories and the influence and the molding that they have invested is irreplaceable. It has been well said that even marble and granite are perishable monuments. And their inscriptions may be seldom read. Carve your name on human hearts. They alone are immortal. That's what a mother does. She is a carver of hearts. So I want to preach to you a message this morning entitled, A Carver of Hearts. So what would the world look like without mothers? Nothing. We wouldn't have one. Let's be really honest. And many times the names of mothers, the ones that raise the children, that do all the background work, that show that go on, those kids that they raise to go on to do great things, those mothers are rarely remembered by name, are they not? They're scarcely given that due recognition. But that's okay with them. That's not why they do it. And in our text, you may have noticed that this mother, the mother of Moses, is not even mentioned by name. It's not actually until we get to Exodus chapter 6 that we're given her name at all. But think about it. Without this mother in particular, Egypt would have never let God's people leave that place by the hand and the prompting of Moses and Aaron. Because Pharaoh had them in bondage, remember? And so much so, as they begin to multiply and grow, he says, oh, I need to give them even more work. Looks like they're not working hard enough. And he poured more work upon them. And the more that they were afflicted, the harder they worked. He said, well, Pharaoh's like, well, this isn't working. So he called for the destruction, literally the murder of children, boys that were being born. But praise the Lord for those midwives. We don't have time to go there, but it would be the midwives that would not bring those babies to the Planned Parenthood, as it were. They refused. And the Bible says that they feared God. And those brave women would not bow the knee to a government that endorsed and called for the termination of the innocent. And neither did Moses' mother. Let me just say, many will stand before God and give an account one day for that very type of sin, that awful wickedness. But not these ladies. Not Moses' mother. They had regard for life and a healthy fear of God. I don't know where that's gone today. By and large, that has gone by the wayside. I pulled behind someone on Friday. I was going home, and I just pulled up to this light, and I saw this South Carolina license plate in the back of someone's car. It's a white license plate, and it has an American flag on the left. And it kind of caught my eye because it looked a little bit different. I pulled up just a little bit to see what I could read on that plate. I came home and told my wife about this. And I said, you know what I saw on that plate at the top of it? It says, in reason we trust. I said, I've never seen in reason? Reason. Man, I always thought it was in God we trust. No, not anymore. That's outdated. In reason we trust, Pastor. And friend, listen, you can reason all you want, but that will not eliminate an accountability before a holy creator. Even if you want to ignore him, even if you want to choose to deny his existence, it doesn't change it. And that's why it's so easy then to abort children. That's why there's no mind in manipulating and encouraging small children now to mutilate the innocence that God brought them into the world, created in the image of God. Why? In reason we trust. In reason we trust. Well, that's subjective, isn't it? Because who's to say that my reason isn't any better than your reason? Come on, that's really what we're talking about. Do you see the problem? There's no standard. There's no baseline, right? There's no, in their own mind, accountability. But we know that's not true. Not according to the word of God that I hold this morning. Well, there was a reason long ago for the call of the murdering of these Hebrew boys that were being birthed. The call for all boys to be cast into the river. Why? To slow down the growth of the Hebrew people. To keep them weak. To keep them defenseless and not reproduce. And can I encourage you to research the origin of Planned Parenthood? Can I encourage you to see the life and the motive of a woman named Margaret Sanger? You research that. the original founder of the modern birth control movement. It's wickedness. And I call it out today. It's wickedness. But that's the idea. The idea was to exterminate, to outnumber them. And so clearly Pharaoh in that time feared the growth of these people. But that wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough because God is about to use a mother. Praise the Lord for mothers. A mother that despite the odds, a mother that despite the persecution that may have come, a mother that despite the law of the land that ran contrary to what God said, rather obey God than man. Amen? And she would have the courage and the boldness and the confidence in God, to do all that she could to protect, to provide, and to maintain the passion to accomplish it all for that son. That's really going to be the 3 points of our message this morning. And I'm sure glad that she did. I'm sure glad that she took that stand, and I know there are countless that would agree with that statement. So number one, I want to see this morning, as we look at our passage again, mom's protection. Number one, I want you to notice mom's protection. Verses 2 and verses 3 of our passage really illustrate a very protective spirit. You may have noticed it. Look at verse 2 again. Exodus 2:2, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. She's protecting that child already. She knows what's going on outside the walls of her home. Verse 3, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. So this would not be some haphazard, you know, attempt to save her little baby. No, I picture her up at night creating this perfect vessel, right? Maybe while the baby slept, and she's building it for Moses, although he wouldn't be given that name until much later. But a waterproof vessel, a place to put him in. You think she tested that little ark for leaks? You better believe she did. You better believe. You think she just threw that thing together real quick? Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. And did you notice we passed by it? The text says that Pharaoh's daughter opened it. That means that she made a cover, or there was doors on this. I mean, she thought of everything. She had a covering on top of this thing, probably to protect it from wildlife, whatever it was, maybe from the mosquitoes. But she builds this floating bassinet of sorts. And she lays that in the water, in the flags, it says. In the reeds there, in the rushes where it was thick and tall, right? To give the what? To give protection. To give secrecy. And what was this mother's name? Well, she is mentioned, again, I mentioned that already, specifically by name, only 2 times in Scripture. Twice, that's it. Of course, Exodus 6, as I said. But Numbers 26 is the other account. I'll read that verse for you out of verse 59. You don't need to go there. Numbers 26, verse 59 says, and the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bare to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram, Aaron and Moses and Miriam, their sister. I point that out for a reason. So we have, because we have here really the list of her children. Jochebed, this mother. Or as I could picture Terry maybe this morning saying, what do you call a tired athlete who's retired for the night under her covers? Jochebed. Some of you will get that later. Did anybody get that? Thank you. Thank you, Craig. Terry, did you get that? Jochebed. This is a tough crowd this morning. You just lighten up, loosen your tie a little bit or something. I don't know what's going on out there. But don't miss that. Don't miss that her mother, her very mother, Jochebed's mother, is also mentioned in this genealogy here. See, without mothers, things come to a screeching halt pretty quickly. Let's be honest. That's just basic science. You know what they say today? Trust the science. And yet there's groups that want to ignore the science, and they're going to rely on the traditional family to continue to reproduce this earth. Amen? Trust the science. You also notice, I'm sure, that Miriam, the name Miriam is given. Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, their sister. So three siblings, all raised by, wait for it, a mother. They all had mom's protection, undoubtedly. And Miriam, really, in our passage, is really a chip off the old block, we could say. The Bible does not tell us that Miriam ever marries or has children in Scripture. But certainly she had, by evidence of what I'm reading here, a very inherited protective instinct about her. Look at it in verse 4 with me. Exodus 2, verse 4. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what it would be done to him. Miriam doesn't let that little baby, that little vessel, that little boat that they made for him, she didn't let that out of her sight. She's standing there. She's looking from a little bit of a distance. She knows exactly where that is. Verse 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, probably to watch for danger there and make sure that she was taken care of and tend to her, right? But there's her maidens. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maiden to fetch it. She's like, you go get it. Might be crocodiles in there. I'm not going in there. Whatever the case was. But that little ark is still in the flags. Mom's protection is still intact for this little vessel. And it's Moses' older sister that keeps an eye out for her little brother. Look at verse 6 again. When she had opened it, she saw the child. There's her opening it. Had a cover on it. The protection, right? She saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. And said, this is the one of the Hebrews' children. And then said his sister, Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter. So here's Miriam. She is going to insert herself just at the right moment purposely. I like that. Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? I happen to be walking by and I heard that you found a baby, okay? Would you like me to go find someone to nurse her, oh great Pharaoh's daughter? I would be happy to do that for you. What's she doing? She's carrying that very protective spirit that she learned from mom. Maybe she helped build that little ark for that baby. I don't know. Verse 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the mother took the child and nursed it. Number one, I see mom's protection. And now number two, I see mom's provision. Mom's provision. God now allows her to mother her own child in the midst of an environment that otherwise that would be impossible. Matter of fact, that child would perish. But now the provision has been given. And the Lord allowed her to protect him. And now he will allow for her to provide for him in more than one way. Verse 10 tells us the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. So now her son will be named. After her time of nursing and raising him, it's Moses. Moses, because I drew him out of the water. If you were with us for revival, the evangelist actually expounded upon this fact. But it's all because of mom's protection. And mom's provision now, because of that, we have this verse. We have this account in our Bibles. And I know there are mothers, undoubtedly, underneath the sound of my voice this morning, that certainly would do anything for their children. What mom wouldn't? There's not an obstacle. There is not a need that is too great. There is not a request that is too small that you would not readily give or help your children in any way you could. Yes? That provision goes without saying. Seems to me, as we're looking at the life of this woman, that we have in many ways been echoing the very Son of God, have we not? I mean, think about it. He is the great protector. He is the one that will come to your aid and put that hedge around you. He is the one that is interested in his children, having a hedge of protection. And provision? Oh, listen, he's in the provision business. That's his specialty. Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise him. Psalm 144, 2, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Those speak both of protection and provision. Just a sample. That's just a few of the byproducts of his character, because he is first interested in us knowing him personally. A provision of salvation, we could say. A lost man, woman, or child that will come to him in genuine repentance, admitting that we're sinners. And at this time, the Israelites, they're God's chosen people. And this woman had undoubtedly a relationship with God. Let me ask you, mother. Let me ask you, father. Let me ask you, young person, this morning. Do you have a relationship with God? Listen, that's the most important question any man, woman, or child could be presented with. Do you know why? Because there's an eternity to consider. So that gospel would look different for us. That gospel that was God's original plan, now as the New Testament believers now have an opportunity. Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that I have failed, I have sinned. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God. He assures us in Hebrews chapter 9, we know this all too well, that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So it's not just we leave this earth and we're done. In reason we trust. No, in God we trust. Revelation 20:15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the bad news. But the good news is the second half of Romans 6:23. But the gift, that's free, don't get your checkbook out, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. You can imagine if you were out in deep waters, if you were out in the turbulence or in the undertow in the ocean. I don't know if you've ever gotten caught out there. Maybe you went a little too far out in the ocean. I've been there. It's very scary. Water's a very powerful thing. And you're out there, though, and you feel that helplessness that you have. And the lifeguard notices and sees you struggling. And here he comes, and he's running as fast as he can. He dives in. He gets out to you. And you say, don't touch me. I'm fine. And you perish. Maybe you're in a home and there's a fire and the flames are coming off the roof, of the ceiling rather, of the room. And there you are in the midst and the smoke, and you're trying to stay low. You're putting something over your mouth. You're getting overwhelmed. The heat is coming upon you. And here comes the firefighter. He bursts into the room. He puts out his hands and you say, no, get away from me. We would all agree that's foolish. Why would anybody do that? And yet the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And there's a world out there that says, no, I don't want to hear that. No, get away from me. It's the same thing. Except now we're talking about eternity. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, victorious over the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, I paraphrase. Giving us life eternal through the finished work. Praise the Lord for that. And listen, if that's something that you need to deal with today, you've never been biblically born again. The Bible says that we are to examine whether we be in the faith. I mentioned that on Wednesday. Examine those things. Where are you? Do you have a relationship with God? You say, I know about God. I didn't ask you that. I know about Jesus and the cross. I didn't ask you about that. I know about Jonah and Daniel. I know about Joseph. That's great. But are you born again? And any mother that is born again will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, will always try to impart that truth upon her children, have the discernment to be able to know when her children are old enough to receive and go through all of those motions. And she had the faith, think about it, this mother, Jochebed, had the faith to resist what the world was trying to shove down their throats. She brought that child down to the water, and she released him. What a picture of faith. She would have, through that opportunity, through the divine moving of God, to raise that child, and the Bible says, with pay. That's amazing. Verse 9, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. She had more time to spend with that child. Think about that, in that environment, through God's blessing. And the provisions were provided. God did that. God moved in the heart of that Pharaoh's daughter. Think about that. You see, everything that you possess, you didn't do that. So, yes, I did. I've had my career. You didn't do that. God did that. God gave you the air in your lungs this morning that you have taken for granted for the past 30 minutes, whatever it's been. Oh, yeah. The blood coursing through your veins. The ability to hear and to see. Now, you may not be looking at the best thing this morning as you look at the pulpit, but still, the ability to see. No, Pastor, in reason we trust. No, in God we trust. And we could fast forward into history from this point in our passage after 40 years of wandering. All that was left in that man, think about it, was probably what his mother instilled in him. Oh, God certainly had done a work in him, and the experience that he had, the leadership, the frustrations, but the investment of a mother. Number one, mom's protection. Number two, mom's provision. And now number three, I want us to notice mom's passion, her passion. What she was passionate about was pretty clear to me. Maybe you've read another passage if you didn't see it. But hey, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? You will spend effort and time and money and sweat and prayer and tears in whatever it is that you're passionate about. Come on. We will. Jochebed was passionate about her children. She gave of herself. She gave her very son, think about that, and willingly released him, not knowing but trusting. She had a passion, yes, for his protection. And his provision was given to her as a result of that, I believe. But also passionate for God. We ought to have a passion for the Lord. So much that she could actually trust God. That kind of passion. In the midst of casting him into those waters, that's faith. That's faith that I would have a hard time, I'm really honest with you, I'd have a hard time exercising. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3 of Hebrews 11. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. No, in reason we trust. No, in God we trust. He created everything so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's faith. That's faith. She had faith. And she's in that hall of faith. Here in this same chapter of Hebrews 11, recorded for us to see a sample of those things that could shine, that could teach us and challenge us and encourage us. It all come in those testimonies in that long list of Old Testament saints that God chose to preserve and pen in Hebrews chapter 11. And she had so much passion, it put all of the fear in the backseat of her heart and her mind. It's found in Hebrews 11, 23, as a matter of fact. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And look at it. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Not afraid. See, a passion for thee, that kind of passion, will always, always leave no space for fear of man. I have no fear, I have no respect, I have no fear. And the result was that passion that she had. That she gave her son to God willingly. Oh, the burden of mothers who know God, that really know God, for their children to know him. That's always a burden for a mother, for a father. Not to be perfect, not to do everything exactly the way I've always done it, but to have a mother who's always willing to sacrifice and to pray for her children with passion. With passion. God hears you. To raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's what a God-fearing mother does. And the Bible says, God gives us a promise in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yeah, but they aren't doing it the way I showed them. When they are old, they will not depart from it. It's in there. They got it. They may not be fleshing it out today. They may not verbally recognize it or don't appreciate it, but they'll never forget it, the Bible says. God gave us that promise. Even marble and granite are perishable monuments. And their inscriptions may seldom be read. Carve your name on human hearts. They alone are immortal. A mom of protection. Jochebed did everything she could to protect that baby boy. A mom of provision. God allowed her mother, that mother, to nurse her own child and got paid to do it. What a blessing God gave to her. Mom's passion. Moms, don't ever lose that passion. I hear the passion of many mothers at Freedom Baptist Church. Don't ever lose that passion. Stand up for what's right for your child. Because there's a world out there that is not. You are a carver of hearts. Now that may be convicting, and that may be encouraging to you this morning, but you are a carver of hearts. Think about that. And I want to thank our mothers. You can do what no one else can do. No one else can. Please don't ever forget that. Ever. Ever. And we thank our moms on this special occasion. I thank the dads too, but it's Mother's Day, okay? You'll have your day next month, so ladies first. Amen? Okay? But the message is for everyone. And maybe if you go exercise a lot tomorrow, and you're into working out a lot, and you're just exhausted by that workout, then just Jochebed. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for mothers. We thank you for the message and the reminder you've given to us out of this account of this woman. Lord, that put all on the line to make sure that she could protect her child. As a result, Lord, you allowed her the provision of that child. It was all through that passion that she brought for you, God, first. For her children, of course. Lord, I thank you for many mothers that would almost perfectly represent Jochebed out of our scriptures. That would perfectly emulate the character needed. Hearts and mind are certainly stirred this morning. Lord, as we close this morning, I would ask we would consider ourselves before a holy God. That's the most important thing. That anyone underneath the sound of my voice that has never been born again would realize that this is the moment to do business.